Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Brock Lesnar is the new Universal Champion. Shane McMahon is the best wrestler in the world. Was Daniel Bryan being punished for not wanting to travel to parts unknown for Crown Jewel? And the best match of last week was on a boat. It was on the Jericho cruise ship. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, you would think I've been doing that read for like 6 weeks now that I would actually get through it clean. Unfortunately, I can't, which you can say the same thing for WWE, as they didn't get through Crown Jewel as clean as they would have liked to.
No, yeah, they didn't. But you know what? Even hearing all that stuff at the beginning to tease everything what we're about to talk about here, is the world coming to an end too? It's like, holy cow, all this stuff that just went down. If you did notice on the Crown Jewel, one thing that really stood out for me, Jimmy, on Crown Jewel, they never made reference to the country Saudi Arabia, the name Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's why I called it From Parts Unknown, because we don't know where the show actually took place.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia. From a good source. But it just, I understand what they were doing, the political ramifications and everything, and still going ahead with the show. But they treaded water very lightly here on this one, and they walked the tight rope as cautious as possible, and they made it very clear this is Crown Jewel. Thought the event overall, I wasn't super impressed. Thought it was okay. I gave it a solid C. A lot of people gave it an F, but I gave it a C.
So in fairness, Billy Lanny and I watched it during the Felger and Maz show. We had it on in the background while we were doing show prep and during the actual show. So I have not heard the actual commentary on the show. I just would glance over and see certain things. So my perspective on some things is probably going to be a lot different than the people who were really focused on watching the show, because I didn't have a chance to go back and really like focus in and watch it.
Right.
But to me, from what I saw of the show, and I saw most of it, if not all of it, I just didn't hear it. I didn't pick up how Michael Cole and Renee Young and Corey Graves were telling the stories. So a little bit different perspective for me. I thought the show was fine. Didn't have any objections to it. The big story for me coming out of the show was Brock Lesnar has reclaimed his Universal Championship, much to the dismay of the internet wrestling fan and to you, Mike Riley.
I just thought it was I thought obviously all this money going into it, you know, and they're still going ahead with the show, and it could have been better, Jimmy. You know, it could have been better. Overrated from the start, and they didn't produce for what I wanted. You know what I mean?
You clearly wanted Braun Strowman to win the WWE Universal Championship.
Yes. I think it could have been better for business for Braun Strowman to have won. I think he deserves it. I know you're the kind of guy that has said over and over he doesn't need a championship, but it just seemed like that would have been his moment right there. Here's a guy that won the greatest Royal Rumble in that supposed same venue. He could have been the guy to become the new Universal Champion at Saudi Arabia. I'm okay. I mean, I understand why they did it. I understand why they did Brock Lesnar. This is totally, in my opinion, because AJ Styles, I think, works better with Brock Lesnar than he would with Braun Strowman for the Survivor Series, which is 2 weeks away. Crunch time. But I think Braun Strowman deserves that title. He's the guy that should, he has become the face of the company more or less with his size and physique. He deserves it over Brock Lesnar, who we think, it sounds like he's only getting two more matches, right, Jimmy?
So I don't know. See, every time we think we know Brock Lesnar's schedule, something gets changed and it gets added on.
Yep.
For me, I didn't think that Braun Strowman needed the championship. Or keep this in mind, with Roman out indefinitely, they could be saving it for WrestleMania in New York.
True.
And that could be the long play. You have Braun Strowman go in, win the Royal Rumble, and then he goes on to WrestleMania to fight Brock Lesnar, where he then wins the WWE Universal Championship in front of the New York crowd. It's his WrestleMania moment, so on and so on. Your point about AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar being a better match than Braun Strowman versus AJ Styles is a good one. But it also makes me think, if you make Braun Strowman the Universal Champion, who realistically can beat him?
Yeah.
In the same way that who realistically was going to beat Andre the Giant?
True.
And that's kind of where you go back to. And Brock Lesnar has beaten Braun Strowman. Roman Reigns has beaten Braun Strowman. Who else has beaten Braun Strowman?
And, yeah, I can't. No one. No one really has. He's taken down half the roster. Both sides. Maybe if you put him on Raw, the only guy I can think of physically, just off the top of my head, if you put him on there, Samoa Joe.
So Samoa Joe is the correct answer as to somebody who you could have put on Raw as somebody who can beat Braun Strowman, just because he looks the part. He's tough.
Yes.
He doesn't back down.
Right.
He's a submission machine. He's all that good stuff.
That's got to happen. That has to happen at some point. Put them both together on the roster. Have them clash at the Survivor Series. It's not going to happen, but that would be great, wouldn't it?
So one of the things that I also thought of when they put Samoa Joe in the Daniel Bryan spot was maybe they were going to do Braun Strowman versus Samoa Joe as the Survivor Series matchup and have really two bulls go at it again. Whereas similar to Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg happened at WrestleMania in Orlando for the Universal Championship, because that's kind of how they make that Universal Championship. It's really the super heavyweight championship, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, more or less. And it's still a young one. And, you know, I know I've talked about this before, but I think they want to have big name guys to hold that title and to say that these guys have had it. Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, Roman Reigns, see what he's done with it. And nothing, not taking that away from Braun Strowman, but those guys have more of a legendary name than Braun Strowman. They've been around a lot longer. They're Hall of Famers right now, too. So I think that's just building up the credibility, more or less, for the Universal title. I understand it. I get it. But there's also a little side thing, too, Jimmy. I'm not sure if you know about UFC this past weekend, right? Did you hear about this?
The Daniel Cormier situation?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The challenge to Brock Lesnar. So, again, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like Lesnar has at least two appearances with WWE.
Oh, somebody's got sources.
Well, you
know. Do you want to go into more detail about this?
Meltzer would write that.
No, is this Mike Riley? Is this Dave Meltzer? Is this Mike Johnson, a PW Insider? Who is this?
No, this is a Meltzer report I saw.
Wade Keller has chimed in?
I'm not yet on that, but I did see the Meltzer report that he heard. On his Twitter, he responded to someone that Lesnar has at least two appearances in the WWE. And if Cormier is going to give him the challenge for the UFC, you got to imagine that Brock Lesnar is going to accept that, take the money, and say, okay, here's my obligation to you, Vince. I'll fight AJ Styles at the Survivor Series, and then I'll take the whole month of December off. I'll see you in Arizona at the Royal Rumble. Happy to drop the title there. Goodbye. Okay? I could see that happening.
One other thing here is, do you think that they being WWE, would do Brock Lesnar versus The Rock at the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania in New York? And that's another way to get to The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. You have The Rock be the champion going in there, and maybe Roman is cleared by then and he's ready to go full bore.
Yeah, like I've said it before, yes. I mean, I really could see that happening at the Royal Rumble because, you know, The Rock did win the championship in Phoenix. What was it? 2000?
Well, it's also, Mike, keep this in mind, it's a baseball stadium they got to fill this time.
And you're going to get people in their seats.
So
with
your
The Rock.
50, I believe, yep. Chase Field, if it's still called Chase Field, it might be called
it
something
is.
Else.
No, it is.
It's 55,000 for baseball. Yep. So they're looking at trying to get 60,000 in there.
And The Rock hasn't been on TV for WWE in, what, about 2 years now? So that they could build that up. The Rock's first appearance in WWE in 2 years. You know, or he could come out as a mystery person in the Royal Rumble, say he wins and issues a challenge right there after.
No, I don't think you put The Rock in the Rumble anymore. The Rock is, and especially with the way that wrestling is nowadays, it's who can we flash in there? You don't necessarily have to earn your championship matches.
All right. Play with me here.
You can go on Twitter, Mike, and you can put up a poll.
Yeah. But let me enjoy my Disney World for a minute. Will you please? Okay. That was a good little situation I had for a second there. It's probably not going to happen. I'm with you.
I didn't say it was a bad situation. I'm having a conversation, Mike. Don't be so sensitive.
I am not. I'm just telling you that I thought this would have been nice, potentially put The Rock there in the Rumble, surprise entrant, win, challenge, beat Brock Lesnar. Crowd is white hot going to WrestleMania. But I'm with you, Jimmy. You get a, you know, book him ahead of time, promote him ahead of time, say he'll be back, and absolutely, that would be a sellout. So, yeah, all right, fine. I'm going with you.
So, Mike, something jumped out at you on Michael Cole's commentary during the DX versus Brothers of Destruction match that I want you to expand upon. Please tell the people your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, did you understand how old that whole ring was at one point with all four of them?
I believe it was 200 years of age. I think that's what Billy Lanny tweeted.
Just a bit over 200.
Of course, Billy Lanny is my co-producer on Felger and Maz, for those who don't know.
And Billy is a fine American, great guy, and he knows his stuff. So, yes, that was insane. And, like, first of all, looking at that on the card, I was like, this is awesome. This is just great, you know? Just it's for legends right there. Kind of like going back to childhood almost 20 years ago. Just awesome.
Yeah, this is a main event match from 1998.
Exactly. The ship sailed, though, once they all got in there. Because, like, okay.
Because then the bell rang.
Exactly. But it was really cool to see it. Crowd was into it. It was awesome. What stood out with me to what I'm getting to, 98, where it should have been, Michael Cole made a comment saying, these are four of the greatest superstars of all time. Now, take that for however you want to take it. I heard, the way I took it, like, initially, these are the top four superstars of all time, which I had a problem with, but I'm like, wait a minute, let me hear that one more time. And he said, four of the greatest of all time. So, I don't think he's 100% off. They are in that category, especially for the duration of their career, what they've done, and so forth. But, you know, it was really unique to see something like that. I know people complain a lot, like, why is Undertaker still out there? Why is Shawn Michaels out there? Why is Triple H there? And why is Kane there at their age? People, embrace it, enjoy it, because you know what? In 10 years, they're not going to be in the ring. So enjoy the moment as it is right now. But you saw four of the greatest superstars of all time. Four of the greatest in one ring. And hopefully we got more.
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made that they're four of the greatest. I mean, I don't know where my power rankings would be, but I would put Shawn and Taker in my top 10.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And Triple H and Kane would be somewhere between 25 and 10, maybe 30 and 10.
Yeah, I mean, Triple H
Kane is arguably top 3, 4, 5 big man in the history of the company, and you have to kind of define, like, Undertaker and Andre are 1-2. Vader's in the conversation. Kane's in the conversation. There are others. Kevin Nash is probably in the conversation.
Yep. Yokozuna?
Probably in the conversation. But if you're just looking at bigs, I can make a case that all four are top 30 of all time in the world of WWE.
Without question. You know, and it just I don't know. I had to listen back one more time. Like, I hope he didn't say top four of all time. But
they do this constantly with commentary, is that they try to what's their agenda right now? Remember, we had these discussions about their Instagram lists.
Mm-hmm.
And what was their agenda at the time?
Exactly. To get the ratings there and people to buy, and it's all it is. Undertaker, greatest rival.
Emotionally invested, Mike. It's very simple. They want you to emotionally invest in something. And whether they're trolling or they're being genuine and they believe it, they just want you to react.
Without question. Without question. You know, and I will say, though, on that match, I thought the finish was it was pretty cool. It would have been greater 20 years ago, no doubt. But it was still a cool finish the way it went down. There were moments of the match where I saw, you could actually hear Triple H when you watch it back. If you are to watch it back, Jimmy, and have the volume up.
I probably won't. Realistically, okay. I probably won't.
All right. There was a moment where Triple H was out of the ring, grabbed Undertaker's arm, and he was ready to throw him right against the barricade there. And he had to tell him, you could hear him, no, we're going this way. And it was like, whoa. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're just, he forgot or whatever. But it just seemed like you don't get that 20 years ago. You just don't. But it was still really cool to see all those legends right there in the ring. And I know legend's a very popular term a lot, but these guys are legendary figures.
So speaking of a legendary figure, Shane McMahon is now the best wrestler in the world. And I mentioned this before about how I didn't watch this show with sound. It was kind of in the background. So initially I saw Miz fall off the apron and I thought, ooh, that looks really bad. And I had thought that Shane called an audible on the spot and put himself in the match, because the way that Miz, the look of his ankle coming down from that apron looked really bad. And I wouldn't think that they would just throw away the Miz in this tournament. I figured it would be Seth Rollins or the Miz who would win this tournament. And I thought Shane called an audible because there was a weird injury. With the fact that WWE actually reported that Triple H has a real injury, and there's been nothing that I've seen on the Miz, and the Miz was just kind of removed from the match, then the Miz was injured via storyline, and oops, they got me again. A few things should have tipped me off that the Miz injury was part of the story of the match. First, he was facing Dolph Ziggler. And really, when was the last time WWE had two villains in the finals of a tournament? I can't recall. And I quite frankly didn't want to do the research to find out. And second, WWE production, to my eye, never went back to the Miz landing. So,
okay.
Essentially, they were going to do Shane McMahon versus the Miz for this tournament match, and it could go a few different ways. And I want your take on this in a second, Mike. Allow me a few more words here. The long-term story could be that Miz and Shane are going to be in a program, because essentially Shane disqualified the Miz from the match. And the longer-term play for WrestleMania would be the Miz is getting a match with AJ Styles for the WWE Championship, or maybe it's at the Royal Rumble, but January 15th is the day that AJ hits 435 days as WWE champion. Once that happens, it eliminates CM Punk's name for the modern record for consecutive days as WWE champion. So Miz wins the Rumble, Miz wins the Elimination Chamber, maybe he wins the title at the Rumble, he gets his WWE championship match. And they can use Shane versus the Miz to springboard the Miz, which I don't think he needs the springboard, but it's there. So back to the actual match. I think the reason why Shane won this best in the world tournament is so that Shane can answer all the questions if he's asked about why are you over there, how do you feel about being the winner of this tournament in parts unknown, all that stuff. I think it was just a decision made to take all of the the issues away from the full-time WWE superstars, because the internet and the media will just mock the fact that Shane McMahon is the best wrestler in the world.
Okay. All right.
That's a long way of getting there, but so, Mike, how do you feel about this tournament, Shane McMahon being the best wrestler in the world? What does this all mean to you?
Okay. So
there's a lot there.
Yeah, there is a lot to digest. And I'm kind of parallel with you on that, with him being the face of it. Let me take the answers and the question and all that. It just sets up the whole, okay, I have the other thing too, I don't really have too much of a problem with the way that went down. Because when you think about it, Jimmy, let's think about this. This is Crown Jewel. It is, with all due respect to it, it is not the Royal Rumble. It is not WrestleMania. We know that.
No, but the show, it's a $50 million show.
Okay, that's a money aspect.
Supposedly, Sean got $7 million for this show.
Wow. Holy cow. Okay, now...
I don't know if that's true, but that's what somebody told me.
That's incredible. And that's why I think if he's still going to have money thrown at him, a side topic here, he'll be back at some point again to fight The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So that's going to happen. However, though, with Shane McMahon winning that, let's think about this. Like I said, he is winning the Best in the World tournament, not taking anything away from The Miz, other guys in there, you know, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, all those other guys that were in there, Rey Mysterio in the tournament. When you think about that, say if one of those other guys win, are you going to think of them as the ones that won the Best in the World tournament? You going to think about that? You going to have that tagged onto their name? Let's be honest.
Well, the fact that Seth... So, yes, because Seth Rollins was running around on social media for a while saying he was the best in the world. So that, right, to me, telegraphed who was winning the tournament.
Which I still think he is.
And then it didn't happen, so I'm thinking, well, The Miz, because The Miz talks about how he's the greatest and he can go forward with that title. And then he didn't win it, and I think it's for the reasons that I just stated that Shane McMahon interjected himself, and you know, that's a Vince McMahon call right there.
Right, and I think when you think about who won the damn tournament, you're not going to remember one of those guys winning it. You're going to remember, oh, yeah, that was the one where Shane won the Best in the World. So I think it was just the fact to kind of put it over and to make a name for it and to really make an exclamation point like, that was Shane McMahon who won the first ever Best in the World tournament. It wasn't The Miz. It wasn't, you know, Seth Rollins. It wasn't Rey Mysterio. It wasn't even Daniel Bryan. It was Shane McMahon. We know he's going to be here for the long run. He'll be here till the day he dies. It was Shane McMahon. So...
You know what, Mike? This just popped into my head. We've overthought this.
I'm just telling you.
No. Mike, we have overthought this.
Yeah,
it's as simple as this. The Prince was sitting at ringside, and he wanted to see Shane McMahon wrestle.
Okay. But we're also
so he gave Vince an extra $10 million to see Shane McMahon wrestle, and that's why Shane McMahon did this. We overthought it. It's our fault.
So it's money.
It's all money. The Prince wanted to see Shane McMahon, so... The Prince paid more money, and he got Shane McMahon.
And the other thing too with Shane, anytime he's in the ring, he puts on a good match.
He's aggressive.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
He gives
you a good match.
I like Shane. Shane was very polite to me the one time that I met him.
Yeah, and the WrestleMania 33 match against AJ Styles, that was the best match in the card that night.
Mm.
Yes, it was. It was the opener.
Maybe.
Watch it again.
Maybe. I like the Jericho-Kevin Owens match that night, despite Vince McMahon calling it the worst match in WrestleMania history to Kevin Owens' face. That's a true story, by the way.
Okay.
Speaking of Shane McMahon, best wrestlers in the world, really, let's transition to the WWE Championship. AJ Smiles.
Smiles.
Wow. At some point, I'll actually learn the English language. AJ Styles on SmackDown last week on the go-home show of Crown Jewel beat Daniel Bryan via submission in a match for the WWE Championship that was originally scheduled for Crown Jewel. As the story has been reported, told, whatever, it's out there. Daniel Bryan didn't want to travel to parts unknown for Crown Jewel. So they had this match open up SmackDown Live. Meltzer had reported that the other option for this match was to tape it at the Performance Center in Orlando. What jumped at me was the finish to this match. AJ Styles hits Bryan with the Styles Clash and then goes right for the submission hold, the calf crusher, which Bryan taps out to. I know that AJ Styles tapped out to Samoa Joe recently in a title match, but AJ didn't lose his championship. Prior to that, I can't recall a main event good guy who was just coming back preaching about not giving up on your dreams, tapping out in a main event WWE championship match or a main event match in general. So if Bryan's goal and his dream was to be WWE champion, he gave up on his dream clean and in the middle of the ring. That feels to me like Daniel Bryan was being punished for not going to Crown Jewel. Mike, what do you think?
Well, let's before that, do you think this would have been the finish of Crown Jewel
if no, they were to have I don't.
So you thought it would have been a regular tap, not a tap out, but a 1-2-3 count.
1-2-3 pinfall. Yep.
Okay. All right. He really hasn't. I'm with you there. I just wanted to ask you, but yeah, I think it was. You usually give them a full match. You give them the whole nine yards. You let them go at it. But I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. Just a tad.
Yeah, please do.
Just a tad with SmackDown. 2 hours. You get a short window. Crown Jewel. What 4 hour event? Had a little more time. You could probably do more in a match. But with the TV, hey, let's move it. We got to go. Tap it out. See ya. That's it. Out. Done. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I'm trying.
No, and to further this point,
yeah.
And granted, Daniel Bryan isn't on the level of a John Cena,
no,
so or Roman Reigns. Even if I think at one point in time he had that magic in a bottle and he was on that level, but when was the last time John Cena tapped out? When was the last time Roman Reigns tapped out?
I don't think he ever has.
If you want to tell me Hulk Hogan tapped out to Kurt Angle, I'll give you that one. But Hulk Hogan wasn't at the peak of his career. And to my knowledge, that was Hogan's only tap out in the WWE as a good guy.
Yeah.
I think he submitted to Brock Lesnar in a bear hug, but that was an arm three times, not an actual tap out. Of course, if we went to the Boston Nitro, we remember Hulk Hogan as a villain tapping out to Lex Luger in a non-title matchup, which was the first time Hogan was beaten clean in many, many years.
Right.
But my bigger point is the tap out finish for Daniel Bryan, who is not giving up on his dreams, that feels like a punishment. And probably Daniel Bryan doesn't care because he's fine with it. He just wants right. to wrestle. He's just happy that he's wrestling.
Right.
But that to me felt like a message.
Yeah. Say, hey, listen, dude, you ain't coming to Saudi Arabia, so we're going to do it our way or the highway. It just, you know, again, I just think that the three best times to have a wrestler tap out, obviously submission only match, last man standing slash first blood match, if you will, as we saw WrestleMania 13. And trying to think of the other one here when just they're unconscious. That's it. It's the only time you can really.
So as we're talking, like this just popped into my mind. Daniel Bryan tapped out Batista at WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans. And Batista was supposed to be the conquering good guy coming back, but he was booed out of the building. So I don't think that counts.
Okay. All right.
Well, actually, but maybe in Vince McMahon's mind it does, but in my mind it doesn't, because he was supposed to be, I mean, that was really CM Punk's year, but he walked out of the company. Well, it was more Daniel Bryan's year, but that's a whole nother story. But Batista comes to mind, and it would be a debate as to whether he was a main event good guy or not.
And also, the obvious other time to tap out is when it is your official submission move.
Well, right? keep this in mind. When John Cena and Daniel Bryan had their match at SummerSlam that year, it was the debut of Daniel Bryan's running knee.
Oh, right.
Even though Cena had the baseball on his elbow,
yeah.
And that would have made sense to have John Cena tap out to Daniel Bryan's submission hold, but they're not tapping out John Cena to anybody.
No.
Because that would violate his never give up.
Yes, that's a good point. So, again, sharpshooter, figure four, all of those are the best tap out situations right there that I can think of.
So the best match of last week actually happened on a boat. And I don't know if you saw this. I happened to read about it, and then I watched the match over the course of the last few days. Is the Chris Jericho cruise ship happened last week. And if you're an Honor Club member, that is Ring of Honor's version of the WWE Network or New Japan World, they aired the Sea of Honor tournament. Shout out Flip Gordon for winning that. They also had a dream six-man tag team match between the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho, taking on Cody, Kenny Omega, and the villain Marty Scurll. This was really the best match of last week. I didn't get a chance to see Chris Jericho versus Evil for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, which Jericho retained. But this match was a good like 20-25 minutes. Just good. Kenny Omega's great. The Bucks are great. Cody's great. Marty's great. Jericho, seeing Jericho work a fun style on the good guy side of things was just, it was good stuff. So if you get the opportunity to seek out this match, please do. It's definitely worth it.
So, as you know, Jimmy, we had that interview with Diamond Dallas Page last week here on Wrestling Inside the Ropes. DDP was on the Chris Jericho cruise, and I had the chance to talk to DDP at the Rhode Island Comic Con over the weekend as well. He didn't really go into detail about the cruise on
he
the
couldn't.
Interview.
He probably signed something that he couldn't give out the results of it.
Exactly. And, you know, DDP is a big believer in DDP yoga. So that was a big part of our interview here on the podcast. However, though, at the Rhode Island Comic Con, he did speak very highly of the Omega match and a big fan of those guys right there. And he's also a huge Cody Rhodes fan.
He was in Cody's corner when Cody won the NWA championship at All In Chicago.
Exactly. He spoke very highly about that and looking forward to All In Part 2 coming next year. By the way,
one quick thing about DDP yoga. I was on it for 6 weeks and I lost 25 pounds. This was a few years ago. So DDP yoga works. Not that Diamond Dallas Page has paid me to say that, but I actually paid for the DVDs. I got the little booklet that tells you how to eat better, and I lost 25 pounds on it. So TDP yoga, it worked for me for 6 weeks, and then I fell back in love with food, and that was the end of that.
But you felt pretty good while you did it, right?
Oh, I felt great.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, right?
And based on how I look these days, I need to get back on it.
You still look okay, but he spoke very highly about it, and you know, just to hear that too coming from a legend like that, it's a pretty cool thing. He had a great cruise, the Jericho cruise, and Mick Foley was also there. Some other big name, obviously the matches that took place. So really cool opportunity for those guys to be on the cruise there with Jericho and have that happen. But the best match on a boat of all places.
Yeah, international waters. Somebody else who was on the Jericho cruise was our buddy Matt Taven.
Nice.
He is the real Ring of Honor world champion. Him and the Kingdom are now three-time Ring of Honor six-man tag team champions. They beat Cody and the Young Bucks on Sunday night, so shout out to him. And speaking of new champions, AOP won the Raw tag team titles, and they beat Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. To me, this feels like a super lazy creative move by WWE. And I talked about this, about how I enjoy the disgruntled tag team partner thing. I think if it's done right, if it's done closer to ECW's version of Chris Candido and Lance Storm, it can be really an effective story. And the way that you enforce it is you, Baron Corbin, who's the acting Raw general manager, Stephanie, the whatever her title is,
yeah,
on Raw, the commissioner of Raw,
yeah,
you force Seth and Dean to defend the championship, and you enforce the integrity of that championship. And you have Seth and Dean who are able to work as a team because they have to, because if they don't, they're going to be fired and banned from WWE and however you want to put stipulations on them if they should turn on each other during the match and cost them to lose the championships.
Yep.
And then you can have them beat each other up after the match. And then a team that is actually ready and worthy of being champions is in place, because I don't see the value in having AOP win the tag team titles.
Right.
And they were okay in NXT, but I haven't felt inspired by them. And I Google, and so this leads me to a bigger picture problem with WWE right now.
Mm-hmm.
I Googled the tag teams on Raw, and at the very least, AOP is a tag team with names instead of just two wrestlers being thrown together.
Ugh.
Right?
Yeah, so, that's a problem.
Why, Mike, why do I feel this way? Why is it such a struggle to find a real tag team? Why do all of these characters suck and blow so much? This company is just frustrating. They have all of this talent, and they're fumbling around with terrible stories and not tag teams. Like, what the women are doing and what NXT is doing has consistently been the best stuff on WWE programming for a year, maybe more. As you look through the tag team history, like the last year or so, it's Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. It's Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, who at least kind of made sense. Like, they gave Curtis Axel and the Miztourage an opportunity. But AOP, WWE should be doing a lot better. But
right.
I guess this is to my greater point, right? Is not talking about on a personal level, Mike, because we all like Dolph, we like Braun, we like Roman. We've had personal interactions with other superstars, and we like them. But name me your favorite Raw superstar. Like, who do you go to when Raw is coming on, and you want to put it on, and you're looking forward to this person's match or this team's match?
To be honest with you, maybe the only one I can really think of, I'm going to go Ronda Rousey. That's the only one I can really, like, she's a draw. Like you said, all those guys are great, but Ronda Rousey, I think, is the draw, and I always will stop time to see her. I will stop everything that I'm doing to watch. Other than that, though, I'll have it in the background and just keep it on, but that's really it. I'll really focus on that.
So Ronda is a great answer, right? So for me, like, it's Kevin Owens, who's injured.
Okay.
Finn Balor is a favorite of mine.
Yep.
Seth Rollins has been superb this past year. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad that I took a break from him because he was in his own little peril coming back from the injury and all that stuff. Yep. I enjoy watching Sasha and Bayley. I enjoy the Riot Squad.
Right.
I'm always interested in what Kurt Angle is doing and what Brock Lesnar is doing. And that's kind of why I like seeing Brock Lesnar as Universal Champion, is because I always feel like there's something interesting. There's like that big match feel for Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
But like, I love tag team wrestling.
Yeah,
And the Raw tag team division just isn't up to par. So like, why are we bothering with championships? Like, just put the belts on the shelf, put them somewhere else, have one set of tag team champions, and just when you want to invest in the division. Don't give me AOP.
Yeah, and let's be honest, the Raw tag team division sucks. It is not good right now. I think another problem too, I mean, AOP, they do look like two actual tag team guys.
No, and they're a real team. Like, I get that. But, right. That's the best you have.
Well, the problem we've had, though, are just you're putting two individuals together in the past. The only time I can really see it work, you know, currently, obviously, is the Bar. That's really it. That's the only time I see it work. I mean, at one point, very early in their career, they were individuals. But now they are tag team with Sheamus and Cesaro. That's it. It's the only time.
You had a really good run. I just went back. You had, dating back to 2014, the Usos, the Rhodes, Miz and Mizdow were good together. At least they were together. The Usos, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro were awesome.
Sure.
The New Day, Cesaro and Sheamus, Gallows and Anderson, the Hardys, Cesaro and Sheamus, Dean and Seth, Cesaro and Sheamus, Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins. Cesaro and Sheamus, Braun Strowman, I understand they did that just to give him something important.
Yep.
Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt at least somewhat makes sense, but Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, like, meh, doesn't do it for me. Dolph and Drew, like, I understand Dean and Seth and now AOP, and it's just...
They've thrown it out, put it on the back shelf, and the dust is being collected on top of the Raw tag titles where it seems like no one really cares about it too much. It's not an attraction for Raw. SmackDown, on the other hand, though, it's actually turned into a pretty good tag team division.
Mike, name me another tag team on Raw, like a real tag team.
I really can't. I can't.
The Ascension? Maybe?
No. But do you want to see them?
No, not at all.
Okay. Now, I think if you really want to go deeper into it, like we're saying to...
You know what they should have done? They should have had... They would have... And I know they're not going to do this because they're not going to cross over. What are Gallows and Anderson doing right now?
I know.
What's Sanity doing right now?
In the B-team? B-team, right?
No, forget the B-team. I don't like them. Nothing okay. personal. They didn't interest me as tag team champions.
Okay.
But you have all these tag teams on SmackDown, and put Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin on Raw. And I don't know that I love that idea, but at least they're a real team. Like, do something for this division.
Right. Just put a little more injection into it. Give it more life. Even the Dolphin Drew McIntyre tag team together was great, too, for that little run while they had it there as tag team champs. Don't be afraid to put the belt back on them. That was a great domination right there. But looks like Drew McIntyre is about to go singles here eventually.
Yeah, they'll have a program with Braun Strowman and him. Because it makes sense.
Oh, how about the Bludgeon Brothers? There you go.
Yes, that works. I'll buy that. I mean, right? I think one of them's injured. And they're going to put Bray Wyatt with the one who isn't injured. And it's slipping my mind. Somebody is screaming in their car radio trying to help me, which I appreciate. But
I don't know which one is hurt.
I don't know which one is hurt.
I'm Luke Harper.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I think, yeah. So,
Mike, any closing thoughts?
You know, I just want to tell you again, thanks to Diamond Dallas Page this past week for coming on. It's really nice to have him on and formally meet him as well. And Crown Jewel, decent pay-per-view, like I said, but a lot of people, Jimmy, I do want to give you credit because you said if Brock Lesnar were to win, then the internet would explode, and I'm pretty sure it exploded for a couple of minutes there when Brock Lesnar won the Universal title on Friday. So congratulations to you, Jimmy. You got your wish.
I know. I appreciate what Brock Lesnar is. He's a draw. This goes to the point of the company. The company isn't about good guys getting cheered and bad guys getting booed necessarily. It's about getting a reaction. And you've heard John Cena talk about that for years. You've heard Roman Reigns talk about that recently. If you talk to some of these superstars privately and publicly, they just want people to get reactions. Right. They don't care if it's on the good side or the bad side. They just want people to be, again, emotional investment. God bless people for being emotionally invested in the character one way or another. But it makes their storytelling that much harder when you don't have a clear definition of who the crowd wants versus who you want. And going to the Becky Lynch situation where the crowd at SummerSlam wanted Becky to win the championship. Charlotte won the championship. They booed Charlotte, who is doing everything possible to be the clearest good gal of the two. And they're trying to position Becky as the villain. And people just aren't buying it because Becky has probably reached that. Well, I think people can relate to the story.
Yep.
Is you have this friend who gets all these opportunities, and Charlotte has worked for all of those opportunities, and she comes in from the back door and wins the championship out from under her friend. And then Becky decks her, and the crowd goes nuts for it because it's like, yep, we've seen, and I think this also helps the story, is that the fans are like, okay, we've seen Charlotte, like, she has ESPN the magazine, she has the main event and beating Asuka's streak, like, we got it, like, she's good, she's the top, now can we see Becky, and can we see what Becky Lynch can do? And Becky Lynch is doing tremendous work. She's fabulous, and if you haven't seen it, you should check out her and Seth Rollins had a little back and forth on Twitter, and it was great entertainment from my reading eyes as I'm pulling up the tweet. So Becky Lynch said to Seth Rollins, quote tweeted, "You might be a man, but I'm undeniably the man." And Seth responded, "As a great man once said, if you want to be the man, you got to beat me first."
Nice.
And so Becky's like response was, "No problem. I could spare 5 minutes to drop down and face you, send location, and bring those adorable little flame trunks you have so the champ can show you how to really burn it down." That's the good stuff right there.
That's fantastic. That is great.
I love that. Has like 23,000 likes. So good for Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, it works, you know, and you get the good reaction on Twitter like that. And it's just so heavy right now, social media. So it works on the social media platform and then obviously in the ring as well. So bring it on, baby.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com. And on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, while you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in the Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley, Sarge at 985 on Twitter, Wrestling Inside the Ropes is at WrestleCast985. For me, James Stewart, I'm on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. Mike, we'll talk to the people next week.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench.
And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.